Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Super excited this morning as we wrap up our series Out of the Cave. We've been studying the prophet of Elijah from 1 Kings chapter 17, 18, and 19. We will go there this morning. So if you have your Bible, go to 1 Kings chapter 19, if you would. Our series has been entitled Out of the Cave, Obscurity to Empowerment. And that title is so fitting for our text this morning because I believe that God is doing a work. I believe he's doing a deep work personally within individuals among us. I believe that he's doing a deep work corporately among us as I visit with people, as I step back and I take a picture, I take a barometer of things that are happening, and I'm just like, man, God, you are doing some incredible things. I think today is so important for us as we come up on our fall series that we'll be starting in September 11th. Called the Upside Down Living, and we're going to be looking at some words of Jesus and doing a little climbing the mountain with Jesus as he breaks into his first message there in Matthew chapter 5. Super excited for that, but also Kids Fest will be here about a month away. Will be Fall Fest going on, and so we'll be out in the park reaching out to kids in our community and families in our community with that. We're going to be doing the Faith in Blue weekend in October, partnering with our police department again for that opportunity, and then within the next week, I mentioned it last week, and this is all setting something up for where we're going, all right? I mentioned it last week that we sent a couple guys down to Springfield to Convoy of Hope. They had a box truck that they filled with 12 pallets and brought back. We sent three pallets to three other churches besides our own, full of items that we can distribute to our community. And so this Wednesday night, if you don't have anything planned Wednesday night, and you're like, man, I want to get in on something, on being the church, then on Wednesday night at 6:30, we're going to be gathering in the garage right out there. It's like 84 degrees. We're going to have jackets on, right, because it's going to feel cold. But we're going to be gathering there to break down those items and begin to fill bags. We're going to deliver them to all the elementary. Our goal is to be able to have enough supplies, and it's going to be just a goodie bag to deliver to all the elementary schools in our school district, and then we'll address other schools in the future. But if you have time and you're like, man, that sounds like a good time just to be with people, mingle with people, and you're not involved in the men's Bible study or serving some other way on Wednesday night, man, come 6:30 right out here. We'll be in the garage and having a good old time. It's going to be, I don't know what it'll be. I was looking for a Louisiana term, and I just couldn't find it. Anyway, so join us Wednesday night, and then Life Group kickoff is coming as well. And I say all that to say this. If we're going to make an impact in our community, let me break it down and make it even closer. If you're going to make an impact in your home, then today's title is so, so appropriate for you and I. And today's the title of today's message is this: Give Me a Double Portion. I love that. I love that because as we walk through the 21 days of fasting and prayer, my prayer is that we will experience that both individually and corporately. Oh God, give us a double portion. How many know the world, how many know you don't need just a dab, you need like all of God that you can get, amen? And so, and the world needs not just a little dab from you, the world needs you and I to be like oozing with the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to make an impact in our society today. So that we would have a double portion of God's blessing, God's presence, God's anointing on our lives and on our church. What's a double portion? Well, it's a phrase that's mentioned six times throughout the pages of Scripture. It's essential, receiving twice as much from God as you would normally receive. I love it. As I was studying this week in the men's Bible study, walking through a study on the prayer of Jabez right now from 1 Chronicles chapter 14, and part of that prayer is this: Oh Lord, that you would bless me. Literally, it's Lord, that you would bless me. That you would, in other words, doubly bless me. How many of you would go, oh, that sounds pretty good right now? I could take a little double blessing if the Lord would bestow it upon me. I love that idea. That's the idea of this double portion, a double portion of twice as much wisdom, not knowledge. How many know we are inundated with knowledge? We need wisdom. Knowledge is good, but we need wisdom's better, right? We need wisdom. Oh, God, that you would bless us with that. Lord, that you would twice as much joy and gladness, right? Twice as much of the inheritance. In our text today, Elisha, who is serving under Elijah, he's going to ask for a double portion of the anointing that Elijah had. Now think about that as you look at this series that we've been through over the last several weeks. You think about the things that Elijah did. From the battle at Mount Carmel and seeing the fire of God fall. You think about that. You think about being sustained by the ravens bringing him food and water. And then you think about his encounter with the widow and how God multiplied that oil and flour that the widow had and sustained not only her but Elijah. And they saw a mighty miracle. You think about when Elijah laid on the widow's son who had passed away and he was resurrected. Powerful, powerful, powerful miracles, right? He had a lot of miracles, and Elisha said, I want to have twice as many. As we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, so hold your hand in 19, or Mark 19, but also Mark 2 Kings 2, Elijah is getting ready to be taken up into heaven. He is, just a side note, not necessarily important to today, but just a fun Bible fact, that he is only one of two people in all of the pages of Scripture that had this experience, that the Lord just took him up. The first one is Enoch, who in Genesis it says that he walked with God and was no more. So in other words, he is just, you know, imagine Chaz, if you will, just hanging out, and Chaz says, I'm going to go for a walk this afternoon, and tells Jamie, I'm going for a walk, and I just want to spend some time with Jesus, and so they're heading out. Chaz heads out for a walk. He's just hanging out with Jesus. Chaz never comes back. You find his shoes, his size 14 shoes on the sidewalk, but there's no Chaz. 15? All right. It'd leave a mark, right? And there's shoes, but there's no Chaz. Just, that's Enoch. He was just walking with God and was no more. And here we have Elijah today, and Elijah gets caught up, takes an incredible chariot ride. As a chariot picks him up, chariot of fire, it says, picks him up. Remember last week we saw with Elijah that he had ran to Mount Sinai, which was Mount Horeb, where Moses received the Ten Commandments, right? And he's fleeing the wicked king Jezebel, and Elijah's there, and he's having a bit of a pity party for himself, feeling overwhelmed by his circumstances. And God listens to him, God speaks to him, and then God sends him back into ministry. And one of his tasks was to anoint a successor, a man by the name of Elisha. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15, you see it up on the screen if you don't have your Bible. I encourage you all to bring your Bibles to church and make notes as we're walking through portions of Scripture as people are preaching the Word. But it says this in verse 15, and the Lord said to him, go, return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. So as you read this, this is happening here in 1 Kings 19, 20, and 21, right? Elijah, you see Elijah comes along. He sees Elisha out in the field. And Elisha sees him and goes to him, and he puts this cloak on him. And that cloak is symbolizing, I'm calling you. And it's this powerful moment. It's like this anointing moment, this moment that is, if you've ever been to an ordination service, perhaps, and you've seen the candidate that they go up front and those that are leading the service gather around them and they put a mantle over him, anointing them for this call that God had placed upon their life. It's powerful. And Elijah put his cloak on him. It says this to a man, I'm calling you. And for the next 7 years, Elijah shadowed him in ministry. And as we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah knows his ministry is coming to a close. He knows, I mean, the Lord has said, hey, more or less your days are now. I'm coming for you. I'm gonna take you home. You finish your assignment. And so he's just like waiting. And he and Elisha are on their last ministry journey. They're spending time together going from city to city. It's interesting as you study this. Some would say, well, man, it looks like he's just kind of wandering, just like, you know, waiting for the taxi, right, to come and take him to heaven. And what's he doing? And it's interesting, as he's going through the countryside, he's going to Gilgal, he's going to Bethel, he's going to Jericho. And we know that he's on his way to Jordan. Why doesn't he go straight to Jordan or to the Jordan? Historians tell us that the schools of the prophets were located in Gilgal and Bethel and Jericho. So these were like early seminaries, if you will, most likely founded by the prophet Samuel that we read about in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. These were schools where young men were trained to undertake the sacred calling and the discipline of being a prophet for the Lord. And I believe one of the reasons that Elijah's on this unusual journey to the Jordan, kind of taking a meandering to get there, if you will, was that his desire was to meet one last time each young prophet and to speak into them and to call out of them what God was calling them to do and to reaffirm the call of God upon their life and offer final words of encouragement to those who would carry the torch of truth after his departure. But regardless of all the why, here's the question that we see asked in verse 9. When they crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? It's a good question. Son, protege, friend, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Because I know my days are numbered. And the response is this, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elisha replied. What is he asking? You know what he's asking? I want twice the power of God on my life compared to what you had on your life. I mean, that's a bold ask, right? Many scholars believe that the three places that they visited before Elijah was taken away into heaven speak of the significance of this double portion anointing, if you will, that Elisha was asking for. And so what I want to do this morning is just traverse to each of those three locations and just kind of unpack them for you. How many of you would like to encounter God with a double portion anointing? How many would like to live life in that capacity that, man, I just don't want to say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, and that's awesome if you're a follower of Jesus, but man, my prayer for all of us would be that, man, that we are walking with an anointing that is impacting not only my own life, but the life of everyone around me. How many would like, that sounds like a good thing. I mean, maybe you're here this morning, you're like, I'm thankful for my heritage, but I want my family to have more favor, more grace, and more presence of God than what I encountered growing up. I mean, Robin and I were sitting out on our back deck last night just having conversation, but also thinking God about just our kids. And just things that we've noticed through the years and just really, as we are conversing about that, thanking the Lord, I mean, we didn't pause and say, hey, Robin, let's bow our heads and let's pray right now. But just, man, just reflecting on the goodness and the favor of God that we've seen on their life. Way beyond anything that I ever experienced, way beyond anything that Robin ever experienced as they were growing up. And I'm just like, Lord, let that be multiplied under their household. To receive such anointing, there are three places, I believe, that we have to pass through spiritually so that we are positioned to receive a double portion blessing. Steve, why do you say that? Here's the deal. Because Elisha didn't go, when Elijah came to him and put his cloak on him, he was out plowing the fields. He didn't say to Elijah, hey, that sounds great, but there's some things I want to accomplish in life. There's some things I want to see. You know, there's some traveling I want to do. There's some things I want to buy or whatever. What he did was he took a yoke of oxen and he sacrificed it and said, man, I'm making an altar. I'm in. He positioned himself to receive what he was going to ask early on. First place that I want us to see is Gilgal. It's a place of separation. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by whirlwind, Elisha and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Gilgal was a place of separation. You can read about it in Joshua chapter 5. We won't take time this morning to go there. But the children of Israel, if you remember your Old Testament history, if you're familiar with it, the children of Israel had been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. And after traveling 40 years, or wandering, if you will, in the desert for 40 years, they crossed over into the Jordan. So they're stepping into the promised land, the promise that God had made them. They've taken Jericho. I mean, they're like experiencing victory. We're like, oh yeah, we're somebody. Anybody else? You know, and so they're having this victory. And now they're in the promised land. They hadn't conquered it yet, but they would. But before they would go any further, the males had to be circumcised according to God's covenant. In order for them to know the blessing of God and to have the presence of God on them as they were fighting battles, as they were preparing for battles, as they take the promised land, it's going to be critical that the things that are important to God are important to them. And that's true for you and I today. The things that are important to God, they better be important to us. They need to be important to us. The things that are priority to God need to be priority to us. So let me ask you a question. Are there things in your life that God has asked you to do something about or asked you to do and you still haven't done them? Something that God is dealing with you on, dealing with you about perhaps, and you're in a season of delayed obedience. Have you ever been there? I have. There's been times I'm like, oh, I think, call somebody else. Right? This delayed obedience. You know that God spoke to you and just like, oh. Maybe it's dealing with generosity. Maybe it's a delayed obedience to purity in your home. Purity in what you allow yourself to watch. Purity to the things that you allow yourself to listen to, and just environments that you find yourself in, and you're just like, man, you know God's calling you out of that. You know that God has better for you, and so there's this like, okay, I can't delay that anymore. Maybe it's pruning in your life, something that you know that God is wanting to cut away from you, and listen to me, why do you prune something? The only reason you prune something is because it's either dead or to produce more fruit. Right? So I don't know about you, but I don't want to carry around anything dead. But I do want to produce more. And so if God needs to prune me in some areas so that can happen, then my heart should be, my desire should be, sign me up. Or maybe I should say, trim me up. Right? Something maybe is holding you back. It has become too big of a priority for you. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's an attitude. How many know attitudes can, like, sometimes, attitudes are powerful, aren't they? You can smell attitude. Unforgiveness, self-indulgence, we could go on and on. But Gilgal was a place of separation. Elisha had separated himself to God. I mentioned earlier his sacrifice of taking the two oxen. He had 12 yoke of oxen, he took two of them and sacrificed them. It's an indication that he was a wealthy man coming from a wealthy family. That the fact that he took a yoke of oxen and sacrificed them. You know what that would be like today? That would be like Bill Allen going home this afternoon and torching his Case IH tractor. Our time out in Western Kansas, I had some opportunity to help some farmers with harvest and driving. Can't you just see me driving a big tractor? Combine. It was scary, man. Because you're sitting on $250,000 if you're in a tractor. If you're in the combine, it's like $500,000. It's crazy. And you think that here is Elisha taking what his ox or his John Deere tractor of the day and saying, sounds like a country song, doesn't it? He takes his ox and he burns them. What is that saying? You know what it's saying? It's saying, I'm done. I'm not coming back to this. He wasn't leaving the door cracked open a little bit in case things didn't turn out or he didn't like the travels. No, he's all in. It's burn the ship. It's cut the rope. It's slam the door. He's all in. Sometimes that keeps people from experiencing the blessing of God. If we're looking always for a way to, sidestep or security in our own ability or in our own efforts, when we know that God has asked us to do something, we know, and we're like, well, I need some insurance, so I'm going to keep this here. But you know that you know. Your knower knows, right? There's something about making such a decision like Elisha. God, I'm all in. I'm following you. You have to be willing to say goodbye to the things that stand in your way to the life that God is calling you to live. Let me ask you, because I think it's a pertinent question for all of us. What is God asking you to cut away? So that you can live with a double portion blessing. The second place that we see in this journey is the place of Bethel. It's a place of consecration. Bethel means the house of God. Verse 2, 2 Kings 2, it says, Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you. Where you go, I'm going. Right? So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out. The people all through the Old Testament, as you read the Old Testament, you see they had encounters at Bethel over and over again. That's why today you see churches named Bethel Assembly of God or Bethel Baptist Church or Bethel Sanctuary of the Most High, Living, Omnipotent, Omniscient, Sovereign God. That's how they name churches down in Louisiana. They're like long titles. I feel sorry for the secretaries. But people had, all through the Old Testament, had encounters with God at Bethel. Jacob, Genesis 28, encountered God and God spoke to him. When you think of Bethel, you learn that Bethel was a place of sacrifice, Genesis 35:1. It was a place of worship. Hosea chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, it's speaking of Jacob's encounter with God in Genesis chapter 35. The prophet Hosea says this, yes, he wrestled with the angel and won. He wept and pleaded for the blessing from him. There at Bethel, he met God face to face. And God spoke to him. And the Lord God of heaven's army, the Lord is his name. It's a place of worship. And let me just say this. We're 7 days, or we're a week into our 21 days of fasting and prayer, where we're being really intentional and stepping towards the Lord. I mean, we've had an incredible summer, and the summer is just like the first chapter of what God wants to do in the fall. And so we're being really intentional, asking God for His grace, asking God for His favor, asking God for breakthrough. And so we gather together, and I want to encourage you. If you've said, well, man, I haven't been yet, then I encourage you to come. Look, it's not, do I want you there every day? At least at one of the times? Absolutely. But man, maybe you can't make it every day. Maybe you can only make it once or twice a week. Then come. Don't do it for me. Do it for you, and do it for you seeking the Lord. Even if you can only stay for 30 minutes, it will benefit your soul. And it will help the kingdom. So come. That was my one advertisement for 21 days of prayer and fasting. In that time, you know what we're doing in that time? And we're celebrating God. We're drawing near to Him. In that moment, God's speaking to us. I mean, even this week during the morning, there was times that the guy was just speaking to me about some stuff. Bethel was a place of commitment, Genesis 28:19, and he called the place Bethel through this, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and I will watch over and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar with God will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. What's Jacob saying? He says, man, I am so committed to God, I'm going to give Him a tenth of everything that He gives me. So Elijah are walking along, and they go through this place of consecration. Elijah consecrated himself to the Lord, and he consecrated himself to serving Elijah. And the significance of them going through Bethel is a reminder to us, listen, it's a reminder to us that God's blessing always follows a wholehearted commitment to serve Him, to seek Him, and to yield to Him. Francis Chan said this, I think it's up on the screen, but God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust Him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if He doesn't come through. I know that God spoke to me. And because I know that I can step into this call, I can step into this situation, I can step into this relationship with absolute confidence. I mean, I knew that she was supposed to be my wife. Getting married is a scary thing. Amen? It's a big deal. But I was just like, I'm marrying her. I know that God said she's the one. I know. And we know the rest of the story. She said yes, and so here we are today, and so I'm glad she did. But you know. Because the enemy will try to make you afraid. Your flesh will try to make you afraid. What is your life about? What are you committed to? A double portion blessing is connected to consecration. Third place, last place, is Jericho. It's a place of occupation. Elijah said to him, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 4, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Do you see a pattern going on? Elijah's going, hey, I need to go here. You stay here. I'll come back. I'm with you. I'm in your back pocket because I want what you have. What is significant about Jericho? It's the first city that the Israelites came to after they crossed the Jordan, Joshua chapter 6. And they see this massive, enclosed, walled-off city. God says, that's your first one that I want you to take as you enter into the promised land. Here's the instructions. Here's the battle plan. For 6 days, I want you to circle the city one time. And as you circle the city, I don't know what they did. I don't know if they looked up at the soldiers up on the wall and just were like, you know, or what they did, or, you know, flashing peace or what, you know. But they do it six times. On the seventh time, God says, here's the plan. On the seventh time, on the seventh day, I want you to do it seven times. At the end of the seventh time, what do I want you to do? Shout. Do what? Say what? That's crazy. They follow the battle plan. They shout. The walls fall down. They take the city. It required a battle for them to take the city. The battle for the promised land didn't end at Jericho, did it? The fight was ongoing for them. They had to fight to enter the land. They had to fight to stay in the land. God doesn't just want you to visit the promised land. God just doesn't want you to visit his blessing. God just doesn't want you to visit his anointing. God wants you to live in it. Amen? And in order to live in it, sometimes you have to fight for it. The blessing of God is available, but it's not automatic. It's not because of your last name. It's not because of your family heritage, so thank God for those things. It's not because of a ministry that you enjoy or like, or a church that you belong to. It's not because of all that. It's because God's grace, God's favor, and God's calling upon you. You have to listen. The blessing of God is available. It's not automatic. You have to fight some things. I mean, you have to fight your flesh. How many had to fight your flesh this morning? I did. I didn't sleep well last night. My alarm went off at 5:30 this morning. And man, I tapped it out right away. Bam! Snooze. It went off 9 minutes later, and I was like, I'll get up. I didn't want to. You have to fight your flesh. And you have to fight your flesh if you're going to have a strong marriage. You have to fight human logic if your finances are going to be blessed. Right? God, you want me to do what? You want me to tithe, and then you want me to give in offerings too? God, I want a Jeep. Or whatever your flesh longs for. Giving away, knowing you can't outgive God. You have to fight if you're going to know the blessing of God, of walking with God. I mean, again, you have to fight your flesh. Ah, get up at 6 a.m. and go to prayer. Go to prayer after working all day and come to prayer at night. Oh, pastor's trying to kill me. You have to fight the forces of hell. That are desiring to take you out, take your family out. You have to fight a broken world that doesn't understand why you are so passionate about this God that they can't see and they've not yet experienced. Elisha went through all of those places, a place of separation, a place of consecration and commitment, a place of occupation. Because he went through all of that, he was more bold and accomplished more than Elijah ever did. He said, man, I want a double portion of what you have. I was thinking about this morning. If I was there, if I was Elisha, and I had the opportunity to walk around with Elijah, what would I have asked for? Have you ever thought about that? I love this about Elijah. He's bold, he's willing to stretch himself, and he believes the best is yet to come. And how is that going to happen? How is it going to be better than what he has seen tracking with and doing life with Elijah? How is it going to get better than that? Well, the only reason I know, the only way that I know it's going to get better is I want a double portion. I want to know God twice as much as you do. I want to see God do twice as many things that he did through you. I want to see him do twice as many things. I want to see God do twice as many miracles as you did. And you know what? As you read through the scripture, as you read through 2 Kings, and you see all that Elijah did, you know what he did? Twice as many. He was bold enough to ask God, so God granted his request. And like the prayer of Jabez, or the prayer Jabez prayed, oh God, that you would bless me, bless me. Can I, as the worship team comes, can I just implore us? Let's ask God to do more. I mean, he's done so much. We're so blessed. I mean, just look at your neighbor and say, you've been blessed. Right? I mean, we are a blessed. No, I don't, some of you, I don't even know some of you. I just know that you're blessed. Even if you aren't a follower of God and you have questions, is God even real? I know this about you. You're blessed. You may not call it that. You may say, no, Steve, I worked hard. And maybe you have worked hard. And not to diminish your hard work, but the reality is, friend, is you're blessed. And some of that blessing didn't come because of the sweat of your brow. It came because of the grace of God. Let's ask God to do more. I look around. We have a great crowd this morning. But there's holes. There's neighbors. I was looking under the welcome desk this morning and I saw the magnet that we gave out a couple years ago, just with the house, remember? And it had boxes, like your house was the center box on those nine tic-tac-toe, whatever you want to call it. You get the idea, 3x3. And I looked at that and I thought about my neighbors this morning. Some of them I know. There's a lot of believers right around us, but there's a lot of people I know that are far from God. Let's ask God for twice the salvations. I mean, that's his heart, right? You're not asking anything wrong if you're asking that. That's his heart. People would come to know Jesus. Let's ask God for twice the presence God in this place when we gather together. That when you and I come in here or your neighbor comes in here or someone far from God comes in here, they're just like, man, I've never felt what I feel in this place before. What is that? Can you tell me what that is? Do you guys use some weird essential oil in this place? What is that? No, man, it's the presence. It's the presence of Jesus. Let's ask God for twice the blessing in your classroom, teachers. That all of a sudden your classroom is more than a place of academic learning. It's a sanctuary where broken hearts and broken minds and kids are being ministered to, and they don't even know it. That you're speaking Jesus over their life. That your doctor's office that you work in that they just thought that you were putting your hand on them to take their blood pressure, but as you're doing that, you're just praying, oh Lord, let your anointing touch this body right now. A healing would come as you're walking down an aisle, stocking shelves at your place of work or filling an order for somebody, and you bump into somebody and you realize, that's not just an accidental bump into. Oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to get in your way. That's like God giving you a word to prophetically speak to them. I love that Ty Buckingham, when he was here with us back in June, and he shared his encounter with somebody in aisle 14 at Walmart or whatever store it was, and God said, hey, you need to go speak to that person, and God spoke to him, and God did a miracle in that aisle. God can do that. That's the God we serve. That's the anointing that is available to you and I. I think God delights when his people delight to ask him for big things, because it's so big that you can't get the credit. I was talking to people this week again. They were asking me, so like, how'd you guys pay off that? And you get new chairs? And I was like, I don't know. God, but God. $72,000 in 7 weeks. But God. Healings? Wasn't my hands. I got hangnails and everything. I heal people, but seeing people get healed? But God. Salvations? But God. Elisha got a double portion blessing, and God wants to take us through the right places so that we can receive that double portion blessing. It's a place of separation. It's Gilgal. It's a place of salvation. That's Bethel. A place of consecration. That's Bethel. It's a place of occupation. That's Jericho. Father God, as we bring this time to a close this morning and we have opportunity to linger and an opportunity to respond to what you're speaking to us, God, I thank you that a double portion anointing isn't anything that we can conjure up in our own strength, in our own ability. It's not us saying the right things. It's not us having just the perfect attitude and being in the right headspace. God, it is, though, about us allowing us to separate ourselves, to hear from you, to consecrate ourselves, to purify ourselves before you, and, Lord, to occupy all that you have for us. Lord, I pray that it's so easy to get entangled in this world and to live with such short-sighted vision of this earth and the material things thereof that fade away, that break, that go out of style, that technology surpasses, and we get so caught up in that. Lord, I pray this morning that there would just be this longing within all of us for Gilgal, for Bethel, and for Jericho. God, for some, I know that's going to require some separation, and it's in a hurt perhaps. For others, it's going to just be a deeper step into worship, not standing on the shores of the Jordan River, but stepping in and walking through the Jordan River to get to all that you have for them. And God, then for all of us, God, to occupy and not to reflect in our rearview mirror of our life and say, oh man, wasn't it good back there? Oh, remember that? But God, be so passionate and so hungering and thirsting after righteousness that we would be filled by nothing other than the fullness of your Spirit. God, for the college students here, for the high school students, middle school students in the room, Lord, as they think about consecrating themselves, about, Lord, just living a life that's honorable before you in the midst of friends that are asking them to partake in things that, Lord, that they know, Lord, isn't the best for them. God, I pray, Spirit of the living God, rise up within them when they have those moments to compromise and to go with the flow of the crowd, that, Lord, that they would be willing to step away and step outside that current. And Lord, though they may feel like they're standing alone, Holy Spirit, would you breathe upon them and know that they are standing not alone, but with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the angels of heaven cheering them on, and those that have gone before them blazing a path. Hey, I stood where you stood too, and it was worth it. God, may the call and the beckoning of your Spirit be greater than anything that this world has to offer us. God, give us a double portion, we pray today. Church, would you stand with me? If you're here this morning and your spirit would say, man, I bear witness with that, would you just lift up your hands? Father God, you see all over this place, Lord, hands lifted up. Lord, it's not anything that we can manufacture to make happen. We just call on your grace. Lord, Elisha didn't know when or how it was going to appear, but God, he called upon you, Lord Jesus. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that he just wanted all that he could get of you. And so here we are this morning in this place with uplifted hands. God, we don't know what to expect other than to know that you are a giver of all good things. And your anointing is so, so good. And we need your anointing individually, but also our world needs your anointing. So fill us up, God. Double bless us. Bless us with your anointing, God, we pray. And Lord, as we step into this song, Lord, of worship, I pray that we would just find a place, God, that this would be a moment of communication and intimacy with you. And God, as we ask of you, Lord, anoint me. Lord, I need a double portion of your anointing. I need all that you can give me, God. And Lord, I want to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. And so, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. And Lord, for anyone here that doesn't know you, anyone that's watching online and they've never made a commitment to follow hard after you, Lord God, and Lord, in their heart there's this tug of separation. They know, they sense something tugging on their heart. If that's you, that's just the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I'm calling you. I want relationship with you. I want to bring you to all that I have for you. And it's good. My salvation is good. It's not just for this life on this earth, but it's for all of eternity where your sins can be removed. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something. As we step into this song, I'm going to ask, I would love to visit with you and talk to you about that. I'm going to be up front, so you can come and find me during the song or after the song, or if you're like, well, I'm not comfortable talking to you, talk to the person who brought you. And ask them, what does it mean to follow Jesus? How do I become a follower of Christ? They'll talk to you. And if they're not quite sure how to get you there, come up, bring them with you, and come and talk to me. But if you're here and you're like, okay, I've done that, but Lord, I need a double portion during this song. And it's such an appropriate song. I was listening to the worship team practice earlier this morning, and I was like, oh man, we're ending with the most perfect song. Man, just step to his presence. If you want to come to the altar and linger in the altar, please do so. But let's step boldly before the throne of grace, can we? Go ahead, worship team. Thank you, Lord.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening. and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.